حضرت شاہ ولی اللہ صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ کمز اراؤنڈ دا 11th سینچری اپروکسیمیٹلی 3 سینچریز اوے. ہی از نون ایز دا سند الہند, دیٹ از دا حدیث دیٹ آر رپورٹڈ بائی نیئرلی آل آف اس go through the chain of Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. As we transmit the hadith, then it reaches up to Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and the chain goes up to Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is another great muhaddith, Sheikh Abu Bakr Wasiti Rahmatullah Alayh. He is not known as just the Sanadul Hind, but the Sanadul Alam. So Allah Ta'ala blessed him to such an extent that he is known as the chain of the world, not just the chain to the Hind or the Indian subcontinent. So for some time he had been residing in Makkah Mukarrama whilst going through the streets of Makkah, he came across a wallet. The rule is this, the rule of the Sharia is this, that if you find something valuable and you are afraid that that will be abused, it will be stolen, it will be destroyed or abused, then it becomes your duty to pick it up and look for the rightful owner. If you have no such fear, it's all right, you can leave it wherever you have seen it. But if you have that fear that this may be misused, it may be abused, it may be stolen, then it becomes your duty to pick it up and search for the rightful owner. Just like it is compulsory to look after and to preserve a Muslim. If you see a Muslim in constraints and difficulties, no matter who he is, it becomes your duty to take care of him. So is the command pertaining to the property of a Muslim. You look after a Muslim and you look after the property of a Muslim as well. Both are obligations, both are duties. Allah will give us that understanding. Whoever it is, but it is a Muslim, it is our brother, or it is his property, then كُلُّ الْمُسْلِمِ الْمُسْلِمِ حَرَامٌ مَالُهُ وَعِرْضُهُ. Whether it is his dignity, whether it is his property, whether it is his self, but it is our duty to take care, to try and preserve. So he saw this wallet, and fearing that this wallet may be stolen or destroyed, he picked it up, he noted the contents, and tried discreetly to look for the owner. Announced at marketplaces, at all public areas, he made an announcement, but there was nobody coming forth to claim it. At length, one person came and says that I am the owner, and as it is the rule of the Sharia, if someone says that he is the owner, then you will ask him to describe it, give a proper description, arifu. Give a description, what it is like, what's the wallet like, and what are the contents like. So if he gives a proper, correct description, then you may give this item to him, return the item to him. He gave the right description. There were so many pieces of diamonds, some pearls, some rubies, and some other wealth, extremely precious things were contained in that wallet. So when he saw that the description was right, so he returned it. The man pulled out about 500 gold coins to give this person here as a token of appreciation. So he said, no, I didn't do it for this. I did it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and you can have this. At some time, that was the Muslim's heart, that he did things only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. No matter what you offered him afterwards, that was immaterial. He didn't bother. More than 500 gold coins were given to him. One gold coin, what's the price? Yeah, 500 gold coins were given to him as a token, but he rejected. One person was constructing a masjid, so he accumulated some wealth from well-wishers and donors, and returning, when he's returned, he passed a masjid, said, let me go and have a shower, clean up, and then I'll go home. Because this has got about 20 k's to cover. I'll go to the masjid, perform my namaz, wash up, clean up, then. Now he did all this, and meanwhile he forgot that money that he had collected already for the construction of the masjid, a couple of good millions. So he traveled for some time, then he realized, what about that money? So he comes to the masjid and there's no trace to the wealth. Now he's hysterical that I've collected all this money, I have to give a report to the donors, to the well-wishers, and I have to give an answer to my people as well. Now what do I do? They made an announcement in the local masjid where he had left that parcel. This is the thing that I have left and it's misplaced, it's lost, and it's not my money. It is the money belonging to the masjid, and it is going to be the person's good fortune that he returns this. But if he dare takes it, then it is the wealth belonging to the house of Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala, then it's between him and Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will decide. Anyway, one person called him and said, alright, it'll be sorry, Isha time, and you'll need a place to sleep. So you come to my place, I'll see to you, your requirements, your food, your accommodation tomorrow morning. We'll see around if you can find the person who was taken away the wealth. So he slept, he fed him nicely, properly. In the morning he gave him the entire parcel. He had picked the parcel up and he had given it to him. As he returned it to him, so this man took out some of his personal wealth, 1,000 or something, to give him as a token of appreciation that you picked it up and you returned it to me. So he said, no, I can't take 1 cent. Now, and then the reason he gives, he says, see, the masjid or madrasa or any property that is for deen, be it the masjid or be it for madrasa, but it is for the sake of deen, then it is every person's duty to contribute towards it, not to make it a commercial venture. I mustn't make something out of it. I must give towards it, because it's for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Then like it is your duty to build and to take care, it's my duty also to support this cause, not to take from this cause. So I can't take a cent. So this type of feeling, this type of sentiments were expressed by people in the past. Money wasn't a motivating factor in their lives. Rather, they had that consciousness, that awareness of Allah Ta'ala, and they understood that if we do for Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will do for us. We'll do, if we take some type of a worldly return and a worldly reward, then the worldly reward, what can He do for us? And Allah Ta'ala's treasures are unlimited. He will give according to His greatness, His majesty and His greatness. And if someone is going to give, what can he give? According to his capacity, limited, what he'll give. And Allah Ta'ala will give sometimes, he'll give so much that the needs of the generations will be taken care of. You, your children, and so forth and so on. Everybody's needs will be taken care of. Anyway, everything said and done, the money was returned to the person, that wallet was returned. So this Abu Bakr Wasiti, he was also a Qari Sahib. So this Qari Sahib, Abu Bakr Wasiti, rahmatullahi, apart from being a Muaddis, a Qari Sahib as well, so he had a need to travel. Those days now, we're talking about 5, 6, 7 centuries, so he's traveling on a boat. and they come across some type of turbulent waters. Ship is wrecked, and just a few passengers, they make their way. He's amongst the people, found a log or something, sat on the thing, and somehow maneuvered himself to a nearby island. Got there, as he walked, and he saw the residential area, he came across a masjid, and he said, the right place to take refuge is the masjid. I can find and trace my way from here. So he went to the masjid, performed his namaz, and then people of the area became a little bit familiar with the Qari Sahib. They saw his recitation was good, so they asked if their children could be taught. He began to teach the children. They found that he's an expert. You can't find a man like this. After all, he was Sanadul Hind or Sanadul Alam. So he was such an expert. And where are we going to find a person like this in a small little island here? Huh? You can't find a person like this. So they say, you know what? Uske per kuper zanjeev dal do. Chain him up. Must have happened now that a few days now he gets everything right and he goes back to Makkah Mukarrama. Who will be there for our children? So the right thing is then chain him up so he can't go. So how are you going to chain him? Get him married. Look for a nice girl. Get him married so he'll be stuck here. He can't move. So they looked around, nice, respectable, pious girl, and they got him settled. So as the nikah was done, and he went to seclusion to his wife, there were some people around there and his wife. So perhaps the wife's relatives, uncles, or whoever may have been there, they were there and he was there. Qari Abu Bakr Wasiti, rahmatullah, he's there. So as his sight fell on the girl for the first time, right? So it was a time, perhaps people were very backwards. They didn't know that, you know, the better thing is to have a fiancé, know the person, and get into a relationship and eventually get into a marriage. They were backwards. They didn't know that chastity was not so important. They didn't know about that. Now we know that chastity is not important. Fiancé, we can date around, play around before marriage. So we don't have to really be worried about chastity and purity. So that zamana, they didn't know all these things. Now it's pure advanced, so they know something else, something additional. Before they were just too clever, now they are three clever. So what is supposed to be done post-marriage is done pre-marriage. So the barakat of nikah is not enjoyed, because we have taken the law of Allah Ta'ala in our hands. Allah is watching. Whatever we are doing, He's watching. It's the law of Allah Ta'ala, and we are experimenting with His law. It's when it's the law of Allah Ta'ala and someone is going to play with it, then he will be experimented. He will become a toy afterwards. Things are not going to work out for him. Because we need to know whose law it is. If it's a government law, you can get away. Perhaps you can scheme and get away. It is the law of your parents, something you can scheme and go get away. But when it is the law of Allah Ta'ala and someone is playing with the law of Allah Ta'ala, then there's no chance. Allah Ta'ala may give you some respite for a few days, but thereafter, when his stick comes out, then you can't be spared. وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينٌ. So, the right way is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some things we do understand, and some things we can't see the philosophy and the wisdom. But there is genuine philosophy, there is genuine wisdom in the command, the rule of Allah Ta'ala. Whether we understand it, whether we don't understand it, the purity, the goodness, just a simple observation. Look at the marriages that went, say, 50 years ago. You will hardly find a broken marriage. Every marriage is going well. 50 years ago, all marriages are going well. Hardly a broken marriage, broken home, single parent. You won't find a marriage on the rocks, nothing, going smooth, well, barakat, and there's prosperity in that family. But now, 50 years later, and Now you giving your daughter in marriage, or your son is getting married, and you are overwhelmed with anxiety. Let's hope khuda kare ke ye sahi ho, may Allah Pak make it that this thing goes well. The father is worried, the father of the girl is worried, the father of the boy is worried, both are worried. They're going for a honeymoon, so you are making dua, let's hope they come back together. They're going so well, let's hope they come back well. So it's full of anxiety, worry, on the edge, you know what's going to happen. So then it was simplicity, it was a pure halal earning that we earned, and we were doing the marriage also in a halal way. There's no premarital relationship, so it's covered with barakat upon barakat, barakat upon barakat, whether it was a poor person that got married or the wealthy person. But it brought about a lot of understanding, prosperity, a lot of kindness, a lot of good came out of it. And then when we forgot the rule of Allah Ta'ala, began to apply our own ideas and make adjustment to Allah Ta'ala's law, then Allah Ta'ala broke us down. Our marriages broke down, everything, the whole community is broken down. So when it is the law of Allah Ta'ala, we respect it. We don't interfere with that law. So anyway, this Qari Sahib had gone into seclusion with this girl, and he just remained staring at the girl, just staring for some time. So the people of the home, they didn't like this. The first encounter of the girl, and you are staring at her necklace. Instead of looking at her, she is the thing that you married, not the necklace. So you left the girl and you are admiring the necklace. So as though she doesn't mean much, what means more is the necklace, is the wealth that she has, than the girl herself. So they expressed their disapproval. What's wrong, Qari Sahib? The Qari Sahib said, no, I'm not looking at the wealth, I'm not looking at the necklace itself, just the necklace. What I'm looking at is that, you see, so many years ago, I was residing in Makkah Mukarramah, and this is my story. Now, the pearl that I see on the necklace is exactly the pearl that I picked up. The pearl is exactly the one that was in my wallet. This is what I see on this girl. So when the Qari Sahib said this, the whole house had echoed with takbir, Allahu Akbar. Everybody, then after some time, everything calmed off. So Qari Sahib said, I didn't commit any sin. Why was there such a vibration in this house? So the Qari Sahib said, you see, this was that same pearl that I picked up. And those people said, we echoed the takbir because this girl's father had passed away just a few days ago. And continuously this girl's father used to make this dua, before I die, I must meet that Qari Sahib of Makkah Mukarramah. And if I don't get to meet him, then Allah Ta'ala allow my daughter to be married to him. If I don't get to meet him, then let my daughter be married to this Qari Sahib. Because I haven't found an honest and a pious soul like him. Again, we understand what must be the reason for the preference of a proposal. What is the reason of proposal? Someone came to propose 4 people, 5 people for your daughter, but you must have a reason to prefer one person over the other. So what must be the reason to prefer? Must it be wealth? Must it be popularity? Must it be the looks and his financial status? So what do we look at? So this old man, he showed it. It must be piety, honesty. There was nobody. That world was couple of good millions, so much pearl, the ruby, that diamond that was there, got a couple of good millions. If he put it away, took it away, nobody could have batted an eye, nobody could have said anything. Right? And he's offered the 500 gold coins, right? He rejected that. So it shows the level of his honesty, his sincerity, his Allah consciousness. So this is the qualities that we look into a person before we give our daughter. What is the level of Allah consciousness, his honesty, his goodness, his sincerity? What is the level? Now, when you're going to be looking just for for his financial statements and how well, how secure he is, it may not be, he may not be as secure as we make it to be. So just looking at it outwardly, it is secure. And few days down the line and to the marriage, and then things begin to break apart. He comes through some type of constraints, and you see his true colors, and then you regret why you gave your daughter away. So this honesty, this piety, the sincerity, the goodness of the person, this is what is to be seen. And this old man had made it out in the Karisab. So this was his fervent dua. I must either see him before death, or my daughter must be married to him. So we echo that tanbir because this was an answer to his dua. Therefore we echo the tanbir. Anyway, the story carries on, and they were married, and they had a child, one two children they had. So, with the child being born, and the mother had some difficulty, some complication, and she passed away. When she passed away, so there's just one child, and there is the Qari Sahib. So the child gets a portion to it of the estate, and a portion goes to the husband. The husband already got part of the estate. Then few days into the marriage, now the wife is dead, and the only one that is left now is the son. So the Shari law is that if there's only one son and there's only one husband that is left, the husband gets a quarter of the estate and the remainder goes to the son. But now the son also died and there's nobody else besides the Qari Sahib that is the heir of this boy. Nobody else. No mother, no father, nobody. So all that was inherited by the son came to the Qari Sahib. Everything. So all that he picked up in Makkah Mukarrama, the ruby and the diamond and whatever, all that he picked up, everything went around and came back to him. It took a circuit and it came back to him. See, when you're doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will definitely do for you. When the law of Allah ta'ala is respected and honored, then don't imagine that Allah ta'ala will not see you right. What has happened today is, we lost the consciousness and the awareness of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala does. All Allah Ta'ala wants to see, that in this short trial, are you doing for me? Are you doing according to me? Are you doing like how I have asked you? And He wants to see your level of endurance and trust. Do you have the trust in what I say? Do you have the confidence in my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Do you have the confidence in my teachings? You have the confidence, you have the respect, you have the trust. So Allah, in a short while, Allah will make that thing happen, that everything works out for you. However He makes it happen, He'll make it happen. Trust Him, have the confidence in Him, have the respect for His law, and you will see things working out for you. Are you going to work out an estate and do your own things, marry in community, and then you think now whatever belongs to the wife belongs to you. Now, it is the law of the land, we understand, the community and property, that whatever is the husband's belongs to the wife, and whatever is the wife's belongs to the husband. But because of it being the law of the land, that wealth that you have taken under this act doesn't become halal. It's haram wealth. The Shariat has got its own laws of estate, laws of winding an estate. It's got its own laws. When it's going to be adhered and conformed to, then whatever you have got and earned is going to be halal, pure, clean. And if you're not going to conform to that, you're going to make an amendment to the law of Allah Ta'ala and do it according to any other law thereafter, then whatever additional wealth you have acquired is not halal. Though it is legal, the status of it is legal, but it doesn't mean that a thing is legal, then it becomes halal. If someone gambled and he earned R1 million, so the money that he acquired is legal. You cannot say it's illegal wealth. He's got documents to prove that this wealth that I got from this casino is legal. So the wealth is what is legal. But I ask you, is it halal? The person has got a piggery and he sold 1 million pigs, right? and he came up with 10 million rands, right? Now, is that 10 million rand halal? But it's proper and it's legal. So whatever is legal doesn't have to be halal. This is what a legal status. The law has got a different codification and definition, and the Sharia codification law is different. It doesn't mean that it's got a legal status and it became halal. Right? We are so concerned that our wealth must be legal, legally recognized, so that we don't get into some type of complications, we don't get legal implications. But are we worried that we don't get Shari'i implications, we don't get ourselves implicated in the law of Allah Ta'ala. When we get implicated there, kaun tujhe chhudayega? Who will bail you out? You got into trouble with Allah Ta'ala. Is there anybody that can pull you off of that? Anybody. With Allah Ta'ala, no person works, and no affluence works. No influence and no affluence. People, you can work on something with influence and with affluence. But with the being that nothing can work, it is just your truth and your sincerity and your honesty that works. There we need to see we are clear or we are unclear. So, in this dealings, yesterday I've been speaking about the same thing, that in these dealings, right, we need to recheck, correct. Allah has given prosperity, barakah to nearly all of us. All of us have got good homes, good wives, good children. But what we need to look into is that our earnings, how halal are they? If we want continuity and we want a future in our wealth, in our homes, in our families, some future, then one guaranteed system is to see and to check and to be absolutely certain that this what I've earned is absolutely halal. There's no contamination, there's no doubt. When I say halal, it's not a legal status, it's a halal status. Halal status is different and a legal status is different. If you're selling a pig, right, pig meat, you got some wealth, but that doesn't become halal. That haram will remain haram, and that haram will have its effect. It will have its consequences. But just that we cannot see, because we are trained in such institutes that we have the tendency only to believe what we can see. And because we can't see the consequence of the haram, so we don't take it serious. The consequence of illegal transactions, we can see it, or a person got implicated with SARS, those are the penalties that he had to give, that you can see. But the consequence of haram, because we don't see with our eyes, we feel there's no consequence. We feel, na'uzubillah, that Allah is not aware of it. So this is an area that we need to visit properly, correctly, check again and again. What is the halal status? This person's wealth, is it halal? Was there any problem in his in the estate? Something that was not belonging to me? And does it, have I taken this? Yesterday also I mentioned that story. A person went to visit his ailing friend. And as he was seated there visiting his ailing friend, that ailing friend just passed on. As he passed on, the lamp that was burning, he extinguished that lamp and he bought his own lamp and switched it on. So the people that were around, they asked, there was no need for you to do this. There was a lamp that was burning already. So what was the need for extinguishing this existing lamp, burning lamp? Buy your own lamp, replace it with your own lamp. So explain, as long as this man was alive, this lamp was his property. And the moment he died, it's no more his property, it is the property of his estate. In the estate there will be some woman, right? In the estate there will be some children. We can talk to the woman, but sometimes it can be difficult because someone may be in Umrah, someone is in Cape Town, someone is in Joburg. So how are you going to build a rapport, ask them consent, maaf and all that? It becomes a very complicated thing. So some air is around, some air is not around. Some air is easy to contact, someone is not easy to contact. Then the children, if they consent, their consent is not valid. If it's a infant means it's immature, according to the Sharia. The infant doesn't mean under 18. It means it is not mature. So that may be about under 13, 14, 15. that's an infant. So his consent is not even valid. Even if he consents to take this, then that consent is not valid. Now, how am I going to get marked here? If I'm going to use this, how am I going to rectify it? How am I going to correct it? So the simplest thing in under the circumstance was to extinguish this and just replace it with my own. So I've got nobody to ask for. I've got nothing to rectify and correct. I know what I've done. It's pure. It's conforming with the standards that are acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I haven't implicated myself and I haven't created any type of complication for others as well. So this areas of halal, we need to visit it, revisit it thoroughly, correctly, if we want a future for ourselves, our children and our progenies to come. The law of Allah Ta'ala is respected, Allah Ta'ala will take care. But his law is violated, then I say you've got no guarantee. Somewhere down the line, some problem, some issues are going to come, you're going to get into problems, then you're going to be regretting the very day you were born. Right? You want your du'as to be accepted, you want your namazas to be accepted, spending so much of money going to Umrah, Hajj and whatever. But if it is with haram, then Allah says, I don't need your Hajj, I don't need your three harams, I don't need it at all. If it's haram or it's contaminated, doubtful earning, Allah says, I don't need it. So what's the need for you to go through the exercise when Allah says, I don't need all this thing here. It's just a show, then people see you alright, you're in three harams, alright, very good. But then is this something valid, recognized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or totally not recognized? So this area has to be checked and rechecked that we are working properly with halal, though that earnings may be a little less, but the less will bring about the type of fruits that are desired and loved. Allah ta'ala grant us all tawfiq.
اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الملك كله بيدك الخير كله علانيته وسره اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وصل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك أعلى الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أسرفنا وما أنت أعلم به منا أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان وجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين سلما لأوليائك وحربا لأعدائك نحب بحبك من أحبك ونعادي بعداوتك من خالفك من خلقك يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا راحم المساكين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا ناصر المستضعفين ويا إله العالمين يا الله forgive all our sins يا الله Ya Allah, each one of us is a sinner, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are confessing in front of you, Ya Allah, in your house. Ya Allah, on this Mubarak night, Ya Allah, forgive each one of us from the first sins that we have committed right up till now. Until the time that we pass on, Ya Allah, forgive every single guna and every single sin that we have committed, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, there isn't a single limb and organ in our body that is free of guna and sin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have misused our eyes, we have misused our ears. Ya Allah, we have misused our tongues, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have misused our hearts, our limbs of our body, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive each one of us, Ya Allah. Forgive the gunas that we have committed in the darkness of night. Ya Allah, forgive the sins that we committed in the brightness of the day, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive those gunas that we remember and those that we have forgotten, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you alone know the true condition of each one of us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the skeletons that we carry in our cupboards, Ya Allah, that alone you know, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, outwardly you may have given us that honor and that izzat in front of people, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, but that wretchedness that is within, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that evil that is within us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you know the reality of it, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we beg you, Ya Allah, to cleanse us, Ya Allah. Allahumma naqqina min al-dhunubi wal-khataya, kama naqqita al-thawb al-abyad min al-danas. Ya Allah, you love to forgive. Ya Allah, we seek for you from you, Ya Allah, that which you love, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive each one of us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us. Ya Allah, forgive our parents, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our wives and children. Ya Allah, forgive our brothers and sisters, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our friends and associates, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our neighbors, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our community members, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive every single ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this Mubarak month has come to an end, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, there are just barely few days that are left, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, don't let this Mubarak month pass without us gaining your forgiveness and your maghfirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, don't make it such, Ya Allah, that we are from amongst those people that have earned the curse of Jibreel alayhi salam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from this curse, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive each one of us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive the first, right and the last sin that we have committed, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, cleanse and purify us from all those sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those black spots that have settled on our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, they may have formed layers upon layers upon our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, cleanse our hearts from all those sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those evil maladies that are lurking within our hearts, Ya Allah. That pride, that ostentation, Ya Allah. That show, that greed, that love for wealth, Ya Allah. The love for fame, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, and all the evil maladies that our mashayikh and our akabir speak of, Ya Allah. Cleanse and purify our hearts from all those evils, Ya Allah. And replace them with all the good qualities that are desired, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us that true ikhlas, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us that abdiyat and that tawazu and humility, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless each one of us with your true love, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that true sincere love that is desired, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless each one of us, Ya Allah, with your true love, with your muhabbat and your ishq, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless us with your ma'rifat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us your khashiyat and your taqwa, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that taqwa which was supposed to be earned through that roza, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless each one of us with that taqwa, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that firm resistance against haram and against wrong, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless each one of us with the true muhabbat and ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Allah, let every sunnah become beloved to us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let every sunnah become part and parcel of our lives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us follow the sunnah completely and perfectly, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let there not be a facet in our lives that is void of the sunnah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let our lives be in total conformity with the Mubarak teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, those that are facing problems in their domestic lives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bring about solutions to their problems, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those that are facing financial difficulties, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, through your khazana and from your treasures of the unseen, Ya Allah, you assist and help them to overcome the difficulties that they are facing, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the problems that the Muslim ummah is facing throughout the world, Ya Allah, especially those in Syria, in Palestine, in Afghanistan, or anywhere else in the world, Ya Allah, alleviate their difficulties and problems, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the oppressive rulers that are above them, Ya Allah, remove them from their positions, Ya Allah, and replace them with just rulers, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the rulers of the Islamic lands, Ya Allah. Bless them with complete hidayat and guidance, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, allow them to see the truth and practice on the truth, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whoever is influencing them towards the wrong, Ya Allah, remove them totally, Ya Allah, and let them see the truth and practice the truth, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we protect the Harameen Sharifeen, Ya Allah. Protect Masjid al-Aqsa, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect all the Marakis of Deen, Ya Allah. All the institutes of Deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all the Madaris, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, wherever Deeni work and Khidmat is taking place, Ya Allah. According to your pleasure, Ya Allah. With total sincerity, Ya Allah. Bless them with that complete protection from your side, Ya Allah. Divinely help and assist them, Ya Allah, from your unseen sages, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, throughout the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah, many people may have made du'as, Ya Allah. Fulfill and answer each and every du'a that they have made, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us the coolness of the eyes of our parents, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, and make our children the coolness of our eyes, Ya Allah. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Ya Allah, bless us with lives of afiyat, of ease and comfort in this world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from all trials and tribulations, from difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, do not put us through tests and difficulties, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are weak, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are weak, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless us with lives of afiyat, of ease and comfort, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, bless them with complete shifa, kamila, ajila, daima, mustamirra, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those that have requested du'as, Ya Allah, fulfill all their jais needs, Ya Allah. Whatever is for their betterment and advantage, Ya Allah, fulfill it and accept it in their favor, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we do not know when the time of mort and death is going to come, Ya Allah. But whenever it is going to come, Ya Allah, let the angel of death come to us at a time when we are engaged in something that is most pleasing to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that we are engaged in some good amal, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death find us whilst we are committing some guna and committing some sin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from an evil and despicable death, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless each one of us with an honorable and respectable death, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let the angels of mercy come to extract our souls, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, don't let the angels of azab take away our souls, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, at the time of mort, let the kalima be on our lips, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless us with a good death, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from the sakarat and the pangs of death, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from the sakarat and the pangs of death, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, at the time when we are going to be placed in our qabrs and in our graves, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let that grave be a garden from the gardens of Jannat. Ya Allah, don't make it a pit from the pits of Jahannam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from the torments of the grave, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, allow the reality of it to dawn upon us before we leave this world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, allow us to make proper preparations for the true life of the hereafter, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are all living in a life of dreams, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are all living in a life of fantasies, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that road ahead is very long, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let the best day of our lives be the last day that we are living in this world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let the best of our actions and deeds be the last action and deed, Ya Allah. And let the day that we are going to meet you be the best day of our lives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let it be a moment of joy and happiness for us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, don't make it a day and a moment of regrets and remorse for ourselves, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make it such a point in time, Ya Allah, that we are happy to meet you and you are happy to meet us, Ya Allah. Don't make it the opposite, Ya Allah, that we won't want to meet you and you won't want to meet us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let our good actions earn that acceptance, Ya Allah, in your court, so that they will be our companions in our graves, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in the darkness and the solitude of our graves, Ya Allah, let those good actions that we carry out, Ya Allah, though they are not worthy of acceptance, Ya Allah, that you crown it with acceptance and allow them to be that source of protection for us in our graves, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in the day of Qiyamah, when people will be drowning in their own perspiration and sweat, Ya Allah, when that sun will just be a mile above our heads, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us a place under the shade of your arsh, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us from those fortunate souls, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us from those fortunate souls, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, when the time of handing out the book of deeds come, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless each one of us with the book of deeds in our right hands, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from that Hisab Kitab, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make it easy for us on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless each one of us with that good fortune of drinking from the Hawza Kawthar, from the Mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, don't make us from those unfortunate souls, Ya Allah, that when they will appear before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the angels will chase us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from such a situation, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from this situation, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, allow us to enter Jannah, Ya Allah, without any reckoning, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, allow us to cross the poor Sirat with the speed of lightning, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the highest stages of Jannah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus. Ya Allah, protect each one of us from the azab of the qabr, Ya Allah. Protect us from the azab of the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from the azab of Jahannam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we seek your protection from the azab of Jahannam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we cannot withstand the fire of this dunya, Ya Allah. How will we withstand the fire of Jahannam, Ya Allah? Ya Allah, protect us from the azab of Jahannam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from the azab of Jahannam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever du'as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made throughout his life, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever good he had sought for and asked for, Ya Allah. Grant us the blessings of all that good, Ya Allah. Whatever evil Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sought protection from, Ya Allah. Grant us protection from all those evils as well, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuk Sayyiduna Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adha minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'u al-alim wa tub 'alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.